Support comes from the St. Louis Chamber Chorus. Season 68 concludes at John Burroughs at 3 p.m. on May 26th with the United Nations commissioned Voices of Today by composer Benjamin Britten, featuring youth and adult singers. Tickets at chamberchorus.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you go to Spotify and type in Old Capitol, the St. Louis band Old Capitol Square Dance Club is the first artist to pop up. Click on the group and its original track, Loose Change, is the first you'll see and hear. Now, if you go back to those search results, you'll see that right next to Old Capitol Square Dance Club is a quote-unquote artist identified as Mariko Charlotte, whose second featured song not only looks strangely familiar, it's called The Loose Change, it sure as shootin' sounds familiar too, and in a way that's totally different from a cover version or even an homage. So what happened? And how could such a thing happen in the first place? Well, here to talk with us about the theft and how they're dealing with it, we have two members of the Old Capitol Square Dance Club, Jesse McCleary, and we'll soon be joined by Drew Lance. Welcome, Jesse, to St. Louis on the Air.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Now, I understand that your drummer, Drew Lance, will be joining us in a moment, made the initial discovery of the stolen tracks. So what happened?
Okay, well, like we do these monthly 4-hour like Broadway Oyster Bar gigs, which are great, you know, like great gig to kind of help us, earn money to produce our records and stuff. But he's kind of been in the band for about a year. So he was like learning the material before the show. He was kind of working on it. And he has the free version of Spotify, which, as you know, doesn't allow you to like skip track, like it kind of, you're at the mercy of the algorithm.
Sure.
So that's the next track that came up, was Mariko Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
And if he had the paid version of Spotify, we would have never known about this, probably. I mean,
oh,
so it just randomly came up as he was learning the songs for the gig,
right,
with using Spotify. And then the next thing that came up was Mariko Charlotte.
Yeah.
And he assumed that it was like a old band or a cover version, and he sent it over, and It kind of went from there, you know.
So what did you think when you heard this, what we said, it's not an homage.
No.
It's not a cover.
No.
I mean, what was your reaction to it?
Initially, because when I first like saw the text, I thought, oh, maybe it's like a cover, like a homage, you know, or like a cover thing. I was kind of excited, and I was a little bummed to hear that they just merely sped the song up, but lowered the pitch of the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I know how to change the play rate of songs. I'm a producer myself, but I'm not sure. Like, that seems like a piece of software that maybe is like a little more advanced. Maybe I'm not sure, but.
And Drew, I mean, what was your reaction when you made the discovery?
I was shocked, and I went straight to the band's text thread.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of asked them if like maybe anyone was in a band before Old Capitol, but I know Old Capitol's been a band for nearly 20 years.
Right,
so
right.
I was shocked, and I just wanted to know if it was like what the situation was, because I knew it sounded weird. It sounded off.
Uh-huh.
And didn't sound like either Jesse or Zach in any point in their life.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Did you screen cap what you were seeing and then send that over? Like, what was in the message that you sent?
Yeah, I screenshotted it and sent it to everybody. And I'm going to see them within the next 20 to 25 minutes on my drive. So I was just like, can somebody explain this to me once I get to the show?
Right, right.
And then I got there to find everybody else was in as much disbelief as I was.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I'd imagine that there was language there that we cannot say on the air mm-hmm. because of FCC regulation.
Yeah, definitely some colorful language, we'll say.
So do you have any sort of insight in comparing the numbers of plays that Americo Charlotte has compared to, you know, your actual album? Is there anything that you can tell from that, Drew?
In my opinion, that whoever you know was behind this, or whoever or whatever was behind this, has some kind of marketing know-how that we don't. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of times folks are really good at contacting playlist curators,
right,
so that
right.
they can get onto playlists and get more plays. Maybe that person or machine had that, and we don't have those resources.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We have what we got.
And so, Jesse,
yes.
looking at that and the number of songs, I mean, the number of listens, do you think it represents real people?
I mean, I'm on the fence about that. I'm kind of leaning more towards no mm-hmm. now, because what human ears would want to hear that? Right?
You mean the fake version?
Yeah, they're
right,
awful.
Right.
Like I'm down with pitched up and pitched down music is kind of a thing now for like a lot of young people.
Yeah, but it gets to the point of like warbly, right?
But and like, it's that can actually be kind of cool as an effect. But this was just,
but randomly, it's like not
yeah,
tasteful.
Not cool. If it's done in like if it's done in an artistic way, I think it can be a very cool thing.
Yeah.
So I was bummed. About that. But.
Yeah. Now, let's compare another one yep. of your tracks to the stolen version. First, we'll play your song Goldmine off your 2019 album Old Capital, and then we'll play the altered, possibly bought version.
All right, is it ready to roll? Yep. All right. Ready to roll? Yep. All right.
All right, so again, that was Goldmine, the first one, which was off your album, Old
yep.
Capital, and then the altered version. Now, I don't have a trained ear,
mm-hmm.
and this is not a genre of music that I listen to, but this is not, I would not have been able to tell, right, like one from the other.
I see. Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, insofar as the... Like going from musicians to detectives goes.
Right.
Where did your investigation begin?
Actually, the first thing we did was our pedal steel player, Matt Hughes, he reverse Google imaged the image on top and found that it was a model for, I have her name, like somewhere, you have it?
And it is not Mariko Charlotte.
It's not Mariko Charlotte. It's a real life model. So
uh-huh.
her pictures were stolen as well. So
okay.
I hope someone lets her know.
Yeah. And so, as you are talking about what is going on among the band members, and as you've mentioned, Drew, the band has been around for many years now and has had many different members along the way. Was there anything else that investigation sort of turned up? I mean, as the drummer, was there something that stood out to you, even as someone who's new to the group, like, this is not right?
Yeah, we pretty much, as far as like the investigation goes, we thought that this was a good opportunity to do things like this and get ears on our music and get natural plays towards the actual music, because to some degree these songs were good enough to rip off, right? Mm-hmm. So all that we really came up with discovery-wise was a plan to try to show people this is a thing and it's happening in your backyard, and you could come see us and support us live or listen to our music live. And that's why we pretty much stopped our discovery and started doing things like this.
Right. Now, I understand that a St. Louis-based musician named Ryan Wasoba, he's also a recording engineer, found a clue about the mysterious miracle behind this, a playlist called Comfortable by Nathaniel Yee with 19 hours of music on it. And it's all music that's pitch shifted and sped up and stolen from other musicians. Have you all tried to find this Nathaniel Yee, Jesse?
No, I've heard the name, and and Ryan and I are kind of friends. We talk a bit, and like he was, you know, kind of told me what was going on, and he kind of felt like likely that's not a real person,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Another
name. I know he's done some what he calls super sleuthing, you know, sleuthing, but like I don't know that he's uncovered anything. But we kind of just started. I just started like writing more songs and like getting on board with all this stuff. I mean, I'm interested to know like what's going on with this in reality, but like. Nathaniel Yee, I feel like, is probably, there's a person in there somewhere, maybe, but
right.
I don't know.
One theory is possible money laundering. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the juicy
true crime
theory.
There was a Guardian UK article about that.
Right.
And that's like a very real thing. And he had alluded to maybe that, and he took his post down mm-hmm. because, you know, it's a worrisome topic.
Right.
For sure.
And how would that type of money laundering work?
I suppose it would work by getting the royalties back and then investing them into something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's my basic understanding of how that would be helpful.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and it's the playlist, it's 0.003 cents per stream.
Play. Yeah.
But that can total tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, this
right?
one playlist, I believe he came up with a figure that was like $207,000 just on that 19-hour playlist of all like 300 or so artists that have been ripped off, much like us.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one playlist. You have to – I mean, I would have to imagine that there's more.
Right.
This is the very tip of the iceberg, you know?
Yeah. You know, Drew, you had said earlier that this album, like the music is good. Is there any other reason that you can think of behind why the Old Capitol album was targeted?
I would think maybe because it's been up for a very long time and it probably hasn't had a high play rate for years, because there were years where there was
5K was like record,
right. There was like recording and everything. Everybody's lives were, you know, settling in. So it's I'd have to think it's because there's a low play rate, but the songs are legitimately good.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody recognized that and was like, well, I can turn this around, maybe put some money into it, into the marketing side of it, and make a return.
Right. Jesse, you said there's a person in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But there's also the suspicion that it could be a bot that is behind all of this. What is it that leads you to believe that?
Well, I guess part of it is the number of – if you go to Mariko Charlotte's page, every song has around the same exact number of plays, which is very, very weird.
Because mm-hmm.
if you go to any artist, I mean, I don't care. Like they have the top song and the second song, there's a major discrepancy between
right.
those two numbers. So that leads me to believe that whatever's playing this stuff is playing it all like at the same, like just one after another
right.
at the same time. It's like someone putting a bunch of phones down and just streaming, mm-hmm. you know, it's like that on a larger scale.
Right.
So I think it's a combo. It has to be people, right? I mean, AI is not really AI just yet. Like it
mm-hmm.
still requires input.
Right.
So I feel like it's a combo of a person, people, company, whatever it is. Plus some technology, some bots, some robots.
And what is it that you all plan on doing moving forward insofar as Spotify is concerned, Jesse?
Well, I guess a lot of people have reached out to Spotify that we've talked to and, you know, with zero comment yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would hope at some point, at the very least, that they can somehow improve their copyright protection algorithms to detect things like this,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because yeah. like you said, like not having a trained, like you almost couldn't really tell the difference, right? I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
But like,
And so what is it that you hope comes from this, Jesse?
Honestly, the landscape to be better for other independent artists,
mm-hmm.
that would be the, in my my opinion, the best case scenario. Yeah. Maybe some attention for our band, you know, that would be cool. But really, I would like to see, like, the pool less diluted, you know, as far as, like, because people complain about Spotify not paying their artists and stuff. But think about that. Okay, that might be true, but add a bunch of, like, scam stuff in there. It just dilutes the, like, it's all, you know, like, Spotify, like, they pay out based on streams. So it's a numbers thing, you know, right. And they've somehow got the numbers manipulated. And I think it's sort of taking money that could go to other artists.
Root, we'll pick up with that after a very quick break. We'll be back shortly, however, to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Welcome back. Now, before the break, we were talking about Spotify and what your band plans to do. And you know, the maximum that one can earn on Spotify in royalties is 0.003 cents a stream. Now, the streaming service has received criticism for not paying artists enough.
For sure.
Right, Jesse, you've mentioned that. But as a local independent band, how do you see your relationship with Spotify?
Honestly, I am grateful for it as much as maybe there's a lot to critique about it. To me, they distribute your music on a large scale, which is what, like, major record labels used to do. So in a sense, it sort of gives a lot of power to an independent musician. You know, you don't have to, like, there's no gatekeeper. You put your own music out, you know.
Right.
I could record a song in my basement and have it on Spotify at midnight, you know, or, like, an hour later. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think there are some things that could be improved upon, like, you know,
and,
as I mentioned.
And Drew, I heard earlier in the conversation, Jesse, you were describing the way that Drew came to the Mariko Charlotte version, and you're not someone who subscribes to Spotify. You heard just a little bit of it. I mean, do you have different feelings about what Spotify is for musicians as someone who is not paying a monthly subscription to the service?
I feel pretty largely the same way that Spotify is a resource for us. But I just I don't really use it as much for the like playlisting and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of like to use Bandcamp because it pays artists a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And most artists that are on Spotify are on Bandcamp. And so if I can, I use Bandcamp because I can make a playlist on there too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cheaper for me. It's a fiscal move more than it is a stand.
Right, right.
Now,
for sure. The making of the music, this is a group that has been around for quite some time. You know, most artists are not able to support themselves on their art alone. And each of you who is part of the current version of the Old Capitol Square Dance Club, you all have day jobs in addition to the work that you as musicians.
For sure.
So, I mean, is the band a side hustle? Is it a passion project? Is it both?
It's a co-pilot.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, I don't look at it as any less important than my job. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I mean, yeah, maybe one would say it's a hobby or a side hustle, but I like live and breathe it, you know, even when I'm working my day job, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I'm writing songs at work. So to me, I don't look at it as a side hustle at all. I think it's just a passionate thing that I'm into.
And you were one of the original members.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Zach Anderson formed the band. I did come up with the name, and I was like, "Hey, let's start a band." But I'm not taking sole credit.
Mm-hmm. And you and Zach Anderson founded Old Capitol Square Dance Club in 2006, but you've been playing music together since you were 8 years old,
yeah.
growing up in Vandalia,
Illinois.
And Zach told us that you two were some of the only people creating art at the time.
And it's a good place. It's just not the place you go to for a mecca of music. But somehow Jesse and I, and then our friend Heath Luster and Andy Wright, we had a band called Kickin' Emergency, and we played together for forever. And then we took a break from that band for a while, and we came back, and it was the weirdest thing. We started this band, Old Capital, which was kind of a country kind of thing. And that was our original lineup for this. It was just the same band doing something way different. And it's been real interesting over the years. But now, as far as what we had in mind when we started the band, it's probably the best lineup we ever had, because it's a songwriting band. We never really tried to be anything in particular. To be honest, they talk about the Bottle Rocks and Uncle Tupelo and Wilco and all these bands, because that's where St. Louis is known for that. And we fell into that category, but at that time, we'd never even listened to it, heard. We had no idea. We liked Tom Petty and the Rolling Stones and the Birds and things like that. And we're like, well, that'd be kind of cool. We don't know anybody doing that. And come to find out, we were like at the perfect place to do that.
Jesse, hearing Zach say that, I mean, what does that bring up for you?
Definitely, like, it's a nostalgia. And also, can I, not to refute anything he said, but I was definitely aware of Uncle Tupelo and Wilco and all that.
Right, right.
but it was great. I was good to hear. Like his take on it. You know, mm-hmm. I had no idea what he said, so it was very fun to hear.
To hear, right?
Yeah.
And you were saying that you, in the course of your day job, you are writing lyrics. You're writing songs.
Well, to be clear, I do it on my lunch hour, and then in the morning when I get there, I'm heating up the dryers. Cause I'm a screen printer. You know, it's like, okay, I have to like send shirts down to dry the ink. And,
right,
like,
right. Get you into any kind of
trouble. No. I just want to be clear. And maybe I could stand to do a little bit less of that,
yeah,
which is starting to taper down now that we're recording these songs and, you know, like legitimately like in studios and stuff. So it's kind of killed my, like, I was like, yeah.
Okay. Well, and speaking of the songs and the lyrics that you are writing on the off times that
I have a book bag full of them.
Right. Now, several of your songs touch on the economic despair felt in small town America today, including your hometown of Vandalia, which has a population of 7,400. And it's like the song that you wrote, Jesse, called Rivertown. Now, the band is back in the recording studio with an ambitious plan to release 2 singles a month for a full year. That is a plan. And Zach told us that what you're recording now may sound a bit different from past Old Capital Square Dance Club songs.
We decided, you know, we're done with genres and Americana and all that stuff that you fall into. We're going to just do everything. And so we're doing anything. We're doing punk rock songs, new wave songs, country songs, you name it. We just do everything. If it's a good song, we're going to write it. You know what I mean? But I'm going to explore a little bit more. And it seems to be working great. Like the band, we did one last night in the studio that they were just like, wow, this is completely different. And they all loved it. It was just like, wow, this is like one of the best ones we've ever done. I'm like, well, cool. That makes me want to get weird. You know, I kind of like mixing, you know, some country and like Neil Young kind of down by the river, but also put Sonic Youth in it, you know, and because I love a lot of indie rock and weird bands too, you know, I like everything. So I want to kind of show that. I always said we're kind of like the Nirvana of country, I guess. That's what we've always been, kind of strange, but you just mix it up, you know, make it weird.
So,
wow.
This 2 songs at a time. I mean,
yeah.
What was it that sparked the idea to do that, Jesse?
Okay. Well, I've been like writing frantically for a couple months, like maybe a month or two before this robot situation happened. So I already had a bunch of songs that like I was intending to record with the band. But when I heard about like this started coming out, I was like, you know what? Like, we can't really like sue robots, but we can collaborate with them.
Okay.
So the idea is, you know, all these new songs you're incorporating, like I'm using like synthesizers and like things that, you know, maybe would be like sound completely crazy on the first two records. But like it's a natural progression. Like, you know, it just sort of encompasses like all of my influences throughout my life. You know, mm-hmm. like everything from, yeah, country. There's some skits before songs, which is my like tribute to like 90s hip hop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's we're trying to just, you know, have fun and stretch out. Like music is, I mean, Beyonce like just released a banger of a record and she's given me a lot of inspiration.
Uh-huh.
Genres.
Yeah. We've talked about it, right? We've talked about that on the show.
You should.
Drew, as someone who's coming new to this group, I mean, what do you think it is about growing up in this general area that makes the old Capitol sound sort of what it is? Because, you know, there are definitely some similarities to Uncle Tupelo and the Bottle Rockets, but Jesse has just talked about sort of genre busting, if we can call it that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what is it about being in this part of the country at this time? And the music that you all are making.
It's interesting because there's not a ton of bands around here, even though there are comparisons drawn to some that are around here. I don't feel like there's a surplus. And, you know, this band, where we could draw some differences, this band is going to get a lot heavier than an Uncle Tupelo or the Bottle Rockets, or going to add a synth in there where those two bands would say absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And so where it's similar, and I just love the Americana rock sound, and that's just kind of what I grew up on, it's also the differences that draw me to this band specifically.
Yeah.
And that's that we will break some rules and we will, you know, try to expand the box a little bit, you know, and make something new and fresh.
Mm-hmm. Jesse, you all have been together since 2006 as a band.
Yeah.
And you've all been juggling careers, life, you know,
babies.
Family, kids,
juggling
right?
Babies. Mm-hmm.
What is it that you attribute the band's longevity to? I mean, how have you been able to stay together?
Well, I think just, we really like love to play music together. I mean that sounds very simplistic, but mm-hmm. I mean if I had to like encapsulate, yeah, I'm gonna say that I think that we just really enjoy playing music with each other,
mm-hmm.
even though we don't always get along. I mean, I feel like a creative situation. There's nothing worse than a group full of people who just tell each other like, "Oh, you're great. You need some push and pull to like." Yeah. And I think that our band really has that, you know, like mm-hmm. that's one thing I really like about our band.
Yeah, we have a good checks and balances system.
Yeah.
And we will tell each other, like, what's up, you know,
yeah.
like, yeah, it's cool. I think that's a good thing.
So
safe space.
And the silver lining to all of this?
Absolutely. What's the silver
yeah,
lining?
Yeah, what is it?
I would say just the fact that we're on here talking about it, you know, mm-hmm. like people are going to hear about our band and hear about the situation. Like, I feel like it's, I mean, great all around.
Right.
So,
Jesse McClary and Drew Lance are two members of the St. Louis band Old Capitol Square Dance Club. Drew and Jesse, thank you so much for making time to talk with us today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Before we head into a break, I'd like to play one of your latest recordings. This track showcases the genre exploration you're aiming for with your upcoming album. And also, in an ironic twist, the song was recorded the day before you all found out your music had been stolen, and its lyrics speak to your favorite band becoming robots.
Exactly.
Here's Maybe Your Favorite Band Wants You Dead by Old Capitol Square Dance Club.
I heard your favorite band are now robots. They clean the play as you sway to the beat of the drum. Now pulling out guns, you're shooting everyone. No one's having any fun with me.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.